Love you, man.
Love you, man.
Yeah. I will also mention he's one of our house church pastors at Mount Song Church. I forgot to mention that.
Hello? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's so good to be here with you guys this morning. I'm really honored. I'm going to be sharing with you this morning a testimony of my journey into sonship and just the process of what this did. And I love testimony. Testimony is what God has done in somebody's life that, you know, no one can refute it. It's yours. But also, people, it can stir faith in the hearts of others, like, God, I want that for me too. And so when I read scriptures, I read where Jesus was healing the sick and casting out demons, I'm like, Lord, I want to do that with you as a son. And so I'm going to share a short bio about my life so you guys get a picture of who I was before the journey of sonship and then who I was in the journey of sonship. So a little bit about me. I'm a fifth generation Montanan. Whoop, whoop. We used to have land, but we don't own any land anymore. I was raised in a loving Christian home. And at the age of 18, I really fully committed my life to Jesus. In that season of high school, probably my senior year, the Lord spoke three real clear things to me. He said, your wife isn't here. Go to YWAM and walk away from all your friends. And so in that senior year, I did break away from all my friends. And I even was grieved in my heart because I was like, Lord, no one here in high school knows that I love you. So that year of high school was really about me just expressing my love for Jesus to my high school teammates and just making a stand in my heart, like, I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm choosing him. After high school, I went to Alaska. My uncle owns a plumbing business up there, and instead of plumbing, I dug ditches, and I learned a lot by digging ditches. I didn't want to be a plumber after digging ditches, but also I learned to lead worship up there with my uncle. He was a worship leader, and I encountered the Holy Spirit in different ways up there that saw the Lord do a deliverance on my friend, just the power of God come on him. Also experienced just encounters of the Holy Spirit in my life that brought a lot more freedom to who I was in Jesus. And then I saved up enough money and went to YWAM and went to a base down in Burbank, Pasadena base that John Dawson, one of the originals in YWAM, helped form, and was there, went on outreach to Morocco, Africa, where I had a deliverance. And the Lord did this incredible deliverance. I had some areas of just hidden sin in my life. And being in Africa, the demonic manifested. I was really scared. And I was like, oh, Jesus! And got my leader to come in and pray with me and had a breakthrough from this demonic junk that also had a form of oppression in my life. I also met my amazing wife in YWAM, and we met in Scotland, Paisley, Scotland, which that's the name of our last child. And then I came home and went to my dad's massage school and began a massage career for the last 20 plus years as a massage therapist in the Valley. And then I married Julie of December 8th of 2002. So it'll be 20 years this year. And we have five kids, ranging from the girls' bookend, the boys. So we have 8 to 18, and then 12, 13, 16, right in there. So who was I before sonship? And this was the revelation I want to share with you. This is me before sonship. I was a worship leader at a couple of churches. I've been leading worship for probably about 22 years in my life. And I was a youth leader for high school for 3 years. And I did mission trips. We'd go up to Vancouver, Washington with the youth and take them into the drug districts and do ministry there. I was also a spiritual influence in my home. We'd have times of worship with the kids, read scripture, pray. Because I really had a heart. I was like, God, I've encountered you. I want my kids to meet the living God. Like, I want them to not just meet religion. I want them to encounter this incredible relationship that I have. And just remind you, I was still, this is maybe before sonship, I was still an orphan. I didn't know it yet. And I pursued and saw the supernatural of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not sharing these things to puff my chest up and say, wow, look at my accomplishments. I'm just telling you, this is me before sonship. I was part, like, just, I'm going to just share some of the Holy Spirit things I saw. I was part of a revival that happened in Climax, Canada, out of all places. Three women had been praying for two or three years solid for a revival for the youth, and God just broke out the night we came. And I trust you, like, our words were not eloquent, were not great. We were just there, and God moved, and youth were touched by God so powerfully, and it even created an effect even after in that church, and we heard. I personally have experienced the manifest presence of God, where it was so tangible. It could have been an unbeliever or anybody walked in here, and they would have been probably had to lay on the ground. And it knocked my friend out, who was a senior. And I was holding him in my arms, and we're just under this presence of God, experiencing his presence. And that only happened, probably I would say that manifest and that real. I mean, it is real, but like that physical once in my life. I moved in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and was part of people being delivered from demonic power. I also moved in words of knowledge, wisdom, and prophecy, but I was still an orphan. I evangelized at work. I saw myself as a missionary. I gave my life to Jesus, and I said, yes, I'm giving my life to you, and I believed my life was my mission. Like, I would live to be on mission no matter what I was doing. And I had led some people to the Lord, to Jesus, and influenced others to consider. And in that season of my life, I sought God with prayer and fasting too. And I had seen great benefit in that spiritual practice. Some of my earliest fasts in YOM involved milkshakes and peanut butter. You got to get your nutrients when you're fasting. And God was so good to us and so gracious and still moved in our midst. And I pursued holiness in my life. I love holiness. And I love, like, not having any partnership with darkness in my life. And so I loved spirit and truth. And I didn't want to be in bondage to anything. So that's the outer, external. Now, what was happening on the inside during this? I need a drink real quick. I struggled with bouts of guilt and condemnation. Thanks, Ben. I was always feeling like I was failing God. I was missing the mark. I had varying mood swings. I was very up and down emotionally. I struggled at times being present as a dad because I was so depressed at times, like, oh, I failed God. I didn't tell this one person about Jesus. Oh, I missed my Bible time this morning. These bouts of depression would go up and down, and it influenced my engagement with my family around. I would engage less because I was so depressed. We'd go on family vacations, and I was so down because I get to have fun, but I couldn't have fun. I had to work for God. I had to labor for him. And so my wife was like, I'm not having fun going on trips with you. Can you stay home this time when I go to my parents? I'm like, I'll change, I promise. I'll try. And I even became more condemned and frustrated because I knew that this mindset kept me from enjoying my family. Like, I saw it. I didn't know how to change it. And it was a vicious cycle in that season. That was like the last, that was 13, 14 years of my life, from 18 up. I viewed God as always disappointed in me, glaring at me for what I hadn't done for him. He was only pleased with me in my mind when I could see myself doing something that was quote-unquote spiritual. After I led someone to the Lord, I was definitely on a high, but I also, at the same time, wanted to die because I couldn't keep up with that expectation of serving Jesus like that. And I hate to say it, I would perform for God's love and hope for his approval while performing. I still believe if we love him, we'll obey him, but I was doing things for him to be hopefully he would accept me and welcome me. My motivation was an orphan heart. I would be so raw inside at times that I could only experience peace by fasting. I'd be like at anguish, just like, oh God, oh God. And so I'd be like, okay, I'm going to go on a fast for like 2 days. And that peace would come because obviously I was doing something. Or reading my Bible or praying or worship. I loved worship and loved just singing. I would have been a miserable monk since I love many other things in life. The biggest thing to me looking back is that I lacked the joy of the Lord and the joy of my salvation. And yeah, that was it. So, but then the Lord came in such a way that it began a journey. And at this time, I had been leading worship at a church for 8 years. Also was a youth pastor for 3 years with this church. But I began to completely disliking leading people into worship. I actually hated it after a time. I was like, I feel like a cheerleader up here waving my pom-poms trying to rally the crowd. And I'm like, I hate that. I'm like, let's just worship. Let's worship. If you don't want to worship, I don't want to worship with you. I'm out of here. And that was my attitude. I started losing my love for people, even though I did deep down. I love people. And I didn't want to do the performance thing in church. I hate a spirit of performance at all. I can't. Like, ugh. I don't like it. I like real. I like honest. I like raw. And it seemed as though the power of God stopped moving at a certain place in my life. I was really frustrated. Like, God, I'm not seeing deliverance anymore. I'm not seeing freedom. This is all so much hard work to see you move in my midst, to be with you. Then I received my first and most important truth from God that has changed the course of my life forever. This is what it was. He spoke clearly to me. I couldn't deny it. He says, I want you to lose your idea of ever having a ministry and just learn to be a son. And I was like, you're so wrong. I was angry at him. And I honestly thought he was crazy. I was like, I can prove you wrong in the Bible. And all of a sudden I realized I had a lens, how I saw God, and I had a lens, how I read scripture. And I didn't see him in the way that he truly was in scripture. And somebody that ministered, like I thought ministry was everything to him. Like, if I do this for you, you're going to love me more. And he was saying, lose that thing that you think keeps my love towards you. Don't have it. I don't want you to have it. You just need to be a son. And so, the ministry he was calling me to was himself. Just think about that. Like, the ministry he calls us to first is himself. And I love this quote by Leif Hetland, who talks about the Father's heart or healing the orphan spirit. And it goes, it's a rough version of what he says. He says, what I do in this life, or wait, I don't do something to become someone or something for God. What I do in this life is because of who I am with Papa God. So it comes from a place of belonging. It's not the other way around. So I'm going to read John 15, 4 through 5, and these are Jesus' words. He says, "Remain in me, and I'll remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. You cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you're the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Our first ministry is to him. It's to be with him, to sit with him, to love him before anything else. We are called human beings, not human doings. We are created to be with him. And this was my first calling, even before trying to fulfill any other need that was around for me. The best fruit in my life comes from doing life with Jesus, not trying to become something for Jesus. And this was a saying I had to adopt to create a balance in me, because I believe that the need was always the call. The need is not the call. And Jesus didn't call me. He called me to, the need is not the call. I'm first called to Jesus to live from him and for him and to him. And so in this season, he didn't want me to focus on position, anointing, calling, just being his son. I was like, that is so boring. But it was so right. It was so good. It was the best. As Nacho, the best. It was the best. Also, what God gave me was that my value didn't come from anything that I did in regards to good works or will do with him, but it solely comes from his great love towards me. That's where my value comes from. You can do all the works for Jesus you want. You still have his value. You had it before you did them. The truth was, experience when I had a prophetic word for one of my clients. We were on the table. And I gave her this word, and I was like, does that seem right? And she's like, yeah, that's on. And the Holy Spirit spoke immediately. He's like, ah, son, stop. He's like, that didn't give you value, giving her that word. He's like, you already had it. He's like, you need to learn to do this from a different place. If you're trying to get value for what you do, I'm going to shut that off, which I was good with. I wanted to just be a son. And he was so wise, knowing that abiding in him as a son would create the best fruit ever in my life, just being Papa's boy. And oddly enough, I found myself striving less and in some ways doing less, and he began to do more. I actually began to see more. The second truth that I think is huge, I didn't have to work to enter his presence. How freeing is that? Like, you guys can come in here, you don't have to work. We don't have to work up towards anything to come into his presence. He's in me, I'm in him. I already came in. Here it is. Let's just get aware now. Let's get aware of his presence here with us. I think it was Off the Finger of God film where the speaker talked about people in other religions have to prepare a table or a sacrifice for their God. But this is what I love about our Papa, is he actually brought the sacrifice to us and he prepared a table that we could come and we could eat freely. And so you don't have to do anything to come. He's laid a banqueting table here and he's like, come, eat, it's time. And so I began to just experience these incredible peace of God that was manifesting inside and outside of me. And this peace was so strong in me. Like, I had a guy in my office that I'd seen a few times. He's like, what is this thing? He's like, I feel this peace just coming off of you. And I was like, oh, it's Jesus. And even a few other of my clients I was working with, and they're like, I feel this thing coming out of you. What is it? I just feel this love. What are you aware of? I'm like, oh, I'm loved by Papa. Like, I'm Papa's boy. You know, it's Jesus. Jesus with me. I'm in him. He's in me. And I remember this time where I was leading worship at our house church that we had prior to what we were doing with Ben and Mountain Song. And I just all of a sudden felt disconnected from the presence of God. And I was trying to understand how I could connect to God. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And at first it sounded like really bad theology. But he said, stop trying to love me so hard. Let me love you. Because that's a work thing again. If you can't receive, you can't give. Stop trying to love me so hard. Let me love you. So I didn't have to work to enter into his presence. And so there was this guy who's written worship songs. And his name was Daryl Evans. He's written quite a few worship songs. We went to a worship night with him. And I remember I went there and I just felt like the Holy Spirit said, and this has never happened before, but he's like, wear the color blue. And I was like, that is really weird. I don't know. I'm like, okay, I guess I'll wear a blue shirt. And I wasn't trying to do it to be noticed or have people notice me. But I went to the worship place and I went into the worship time and we had an awesome time of worship. And at the end, Daryl's looking at me, he's like, you in the blue shirt. And I'm like, oh no. What is God going to say? You know, because I had a lens, like if anybody give me a word, I always took it as, oh man, they're correcting me. God's not proud of me. And he's like, I see you reading your Bible. You're seeking God. You're going after him and you spend consistent time with him. He's like, but God just wants to have a cup of coffee with you. And I was like, okay. And so the next morning, I decided I was going to try to have this cup of coffee with God. Because I didn't have to work to come into his presence. So I sat there. I think I probably had a cup of coffee. And I was sitting down there and I'm like, okay. Had my Bible in my hand. And all of a sudden the awareness just turned on. And the Lord spoke to me. And he's like, son, I've longed to sit with you more than you've ever longed to sit with me. And I was like, I can't believe you love me so much that you'd want to sit with me and be with me. And then my daughter, Azel, came up to me at the age of 10 or 11. And she had seen my walk with the Lord in those earlier seasons. And she's like, you know, Jeff, Dad, not Jeff, or Daddy. There she is. I heard her back there. Dad or Daddy, you know, when you... Before, it was so hard for you when you would spend time with Jesus. Like, it looked so hard, but she's like, now it looks so easy. And that just touched my heart because I was like, Papa, you know how to lead my kids the best way. Like, I've been praying for them to see you and to meet you. And what you're showing them is it's easy to be with you. It's not a burden. Like, hanging out with you is really like when we get turned on and on fire for Jesus because he's pouring his love down, we're receiving. We're like, oh, we receive, Holy Spirit. You want to pour on us. And so, Matthew 11, verses 28 through 11, I just felt like this fit with what Azel told me. She's like, my daughter, what she saw, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle and humble of heart, and you'll find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that's what it is to be with Jesus. If it's anything else, I can say it's not Jesus. It's simple, it's easy, his burden is light. The third truth is God is more for me than I was ever for myself. And I want to say that over you. God is more for you than you've ever been for yourself. And I had a picture, and it was like a vision picture where the Lord showed me the world. And it totally just flipped my switch of like how I was always felt like I was looking for God, trying to encounter God. And I saw this picture of this hand reached out of the universe into the earth. And I knew it was Jesus's hand. I just sensed it was like grace. And God, like Papa God just said, take it. It's my hand. It's always been extended towards you. You just haven't seen it the way I've wanted to lead you. And so the truth is that God has always been reaching down towards us, even more than we've been reaching towards him. He's longed for us more than we've ever longed for him. And then how I began to call Daddy or God Daddy or Papa was I was driving in a car, and all of a sudden I heard this voice said, I want you to call me Daddy or Papa. I was like, that is the dumbest thing ever. I'm like, I'm not going to call you Daddy or Papa. But all of a sudden I felt this impression, and he's like, call me Daddy or Papa. So I said, okay. I was like, Daddy? Papa? And all of a sudden the presence of God just filled the car, and I became overwhelmed with his presence, and I started to weep and cry. And it was just more healing. Like, it took a while to get used to calling him Daddy and Papa in public. But I was just like, I don't care. I don't care what people think. I'm just going to call you it. They can think I'm a daddy's boy. I am. And I'm going to be that. So I began to see myself as Papa saw me. And I might just be like, just a little later. But we'll get through this. I'm almost done. So I just continued pressing into the Lord. I wanted to know what he thought about me through this journey. And so I did. I just randomly asked God one time. I was doing laundry. I said, Dad, what do you think about me? I really want to know. I'm really curious. He said nothing. And so I'm walking back with my laundry, and this lady keeps staring at me like this. I'm like, why is she staring at me? And she comes out, and she's like, hey, I just have to say something to you. And I'm like, okay. And she's like, I read people's auras. And I'm like, okay. And she's like, I have never seen one like yours. And I'm like, oh, thanks, it's Jesus. And she went, ha ha. I thought she was going to manifest. And I was like, expecting it. And she's like, well, whatever it is, she's like, it's amazing. And I laughed, walking away. I'm like, God, you used an unbeliever to tell me what you think of me. I'm like, you have a sense of humor. He is funny. And so, one day during the season, I was walking with Julie, and I just lost hold of that truth of sonship, because these truths didn't take deep root in my life in a day. It was relentless grace from God and determination to meditate, to live, to practice, and believe all these truths he was giving me for my life. So I quieted my mind and heart, and I listened for Papa to speak as we were walking, and he spoke. Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, he says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. You can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he's planned for us long ago. That just blew my mind. I was like, you call me a masterpiece, but I see my brokenness? Oh, my word. What kind of God is like that, that sees you, maybe what you don't see, but he's calling you what you are? Isn't that amazing? And so I just realized, I was like, what is a masterpiece? It's what an artist calls, that's perfection right there. That's what I love. That's what I did. It's original. It's my design. And God sees each one of us as his masterpiece, made anew in Christ Jesus, as the scripture says. And he knew my hurt and my brokenness and still saw me this way. And so in the season, I was also dealing with extreme sickness, fatigue, and asthma attacks where I'd wake up and I'd cough through the night for a good hour to get out of the attack. And when I would become sick, I would feel, before I found sonship, when I become sick, I'd be depressed and just kind of overwrought by it. But in this season, I actually broke out into giggles of fits. Like, I would laugh in the presence of God. Like, his love would just come and touch me while I'm sicker than a dog laying in the shower. And I would just be like overwhelmed with his love. And I couldn't get away from it. So when I laugh, it's just because truth goes woo. And I'm like, oh my goodness, he loves me. And it's better than anything that I'm maybe even experiencing right now. I know that he loves me. So I love what Romans 8, 38 through 9 says. And I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from the love of God, God's love. Neither life nor death, nor angels nor demons, nor our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love, nor powers in the sky above or on the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. In conclusion, when these truths would come to me, I would have to write them down and remind myself daily so that it would become part of my belief, my reality. These truths would actually create a physical and a spiritual feeling of love from Papa God, like when he would speak them into me. Like I actually started, my emotions started waking up. Like maybe people feel just disconnected in their emotions. God's like turning that on, turning on just being with him. But I'll tell you the truth. I actually had to be very guarded in this season for myself to any other like prophetic or spiritual words that would direct me away from just sitting in these truths. So people had like good information. I had to be like, okay, I hear you, but I can't hear you because it disconnects me. I got to stay connected. So even good things and good intentions, I had to be like, nope, I have to stay right here. This is where God has for me right now to be a son. 1 John 4:16. So all these truths began to take me from fear of dad's judgment and his raised eyebrows at me like, you haven't done enough, into his perfect love for me. And 1 John 4:16-19 says, so we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. So in this season of sonship, doing anything extra, even good, would have been a distraction to this journey. So I actually had to put faith into action. This was actual faith into action by not doing anything outside of these truths. That's a hard concept, because when we sometimes look at faith and good works, I'm doing this for God. I'm plowing the field, see? But God was like, no, son, not now. Stay here. This is where you're going to work faith. Until this faith comes alive, I'm building an order in your spirit that you need to live off of. So I've encouraged numerous of believers into this journey of sonship and daughtership, because we have many daughters here. And the biggest hang-up is usually being performance-driven for Papa. And God's love, performance-driven for his love. What I mean is that they just can't simply receive his incredible a love for them apart from feeling like they did or are doing something to earn his great love for them. And I just want to ask you a question. What have you personally done for the Lord that you haven't truly been given? I want to read Colossians to kind of just end this here. Come near the end. Colossians 13:12-14 says, may you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. So Chuck Perry is a known teacher on healing, speaker, and author, and I think he asked a good question on this verse. How much work did we do in that sentence? Nothing. He has done it all and then freely given it to us. Everything Jesus deserves and all his kingdom and his inheritance we receive as a free gift. This is grace. My question to you is, where are you living from in your life? Do you feel like you have to be more than just a son or daughter? Are you living for a ministry because you simply want dad's approval? Do you know Papa God as a papa or a daddy? Is your value or lack of value coming from what you're doing or not doing for Papa God? Do you actually believe you're longing for God more than he longs for you? Is Daddy God's love and delight in you enough? I just want to give you one last picture. I had a vision that played out in my mind during this journey, and I saw a cabin, and I saw Papa God in it. And he was sitting, he had all these kids around him, and they were just like, yeah, having fun, hanging out, crackling fire. And I was on the outside of the window looking in. And all of a sudden, his gaze turned towards me, and he saw me. And he didn't smile, but I saw love in his eyes. I saw a ferocity in him, a holiness, an awesomeness. And then he just looked away. And all of a sudden, I looked over to the left, and I saw the door of the cabin open. And Papa said this. I heard the Holy Spirit. He's like, that door has always been open to you, son. He's like, you've always been welcome to come sit at my feet. Be my boy. He's like, I want you to come on in. And so, I just want to give you guys a chance here tonight, or tonight, this morning, that this door has always been open to you. Dad wants all his sons and daughters to know his simplicity, his delight, his intimacy, and his love. And he wants us to know this full love experienced in Jesus. So I just want to give a time, because we're going to do some ministry, and I just know the beautiful Holy Spirit is going to pour out on you here. And the Lord's going to minister to your heart. And I want to tell you this. I don't care if you've been a minister. I don't care if you've been on worship teams or whatever you've been or wherever you're at in life. I have to course adjust at times from being an orphan to a son, even now. So if you just want to respond to Jesus, and if there's too many people, we can all stand just where we're at, but I want to just welcome people forward, and we're going to have a time of ministry where the Holy Spirit is going to just deepen what he wants to do with you. It's going to be really simple, really beautiful. So I just want us to close our eyes for a minute, and I'll just give you a chance to respond, and just, if that's you, just come forward, and we're just going to come forward right now and just receive the ministry that God has for you. Doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. I just tell you right now, if you just hear him, just respond. Just respond to Papa. You've always been everything to him. Just let Papa come and love on you. Just let Daddy be who he is with you. Just keep coming. And if people that are done and they need to leave, it's okay. You can head on out. But we're just going to have a time of ministry in here while people can take off. And we just ask that you'd be quiet in here. And you can talk out there, and we can shut the door if we need to.
So just where you are in your seat, just open your heart right now and Jeff's going to pray over us. And, you know, when the Lord imparts something to somebody, gives a revelation, there's an anointing that goes with that. And it's impartable. It's something that can be imparted to others. And so I just want to invite, if you want to know Father, Papa God, as a good father in a deeper way, if you want to know your place as a son or daughter, just open your heart right now and Jeff's going to pray over us.
So, Dad, I just thank you for your presence. Thank you that being a son and daughter was your idea. Dad, we just breathe in you. We just receive your love. Daddy, I just pray right now that there would just be a release over everybody just to receive from Daddy. In Jesus' name, receive the love of Papa. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to try to work for it. We just say, turn that off in Jesus' name. We just speak that you're accepted. He has welcomed you into his home. In the name of Jesus. His banner over you is love. Say in the name of Jesus, Papa, just take off the orphan heart in the name of Jesus and begin to just reveal anew who they are to you in Christ Jesus, who they are to you as your masterpiece, who they are to you as the apple of your eye, the delight of your heart. We just release that over them, that they would receive the delight of Papa God. In the name of Jesus. Your burden is light. Even when there's so many burdens, your yoke is easy. Even when yokes are hard, there's rest right now. In the name of Jesus. I just say rest. In Jesus' name. Receive his rest. I say receive his goodness. Receive what you can't earn. Receive what you can't deserve. Receive what he freely wanted to give you because he's so good. I just pray right now that there just be ears that would be able to hear just from Papa too. Be able to just hear Papa's heart for them. Not what other people are speaking into them. Not even all the prophetic words they've had. Like all of a sudden you just would silence everything and just begin to speak. What would Daddy say to you right now? Their joy would be made full. We just say now, Father, you have paid such a high price that they would have the joy of their salvation. It's the inheritance of every son and daughter. And so I'm praying in the name of Jesus that they would receive that inheritance, that their joy would be made full. As you are in the Father, he is in you. As you are in Christ, he is in you. Jesus says, because I and the Father are one. You're one with the Father. I just speak also, I just see guilt. I just say, guilt, you have to go. And I'll tell you what, when there is like repentance, there is freedom from guilt. Guilt does not belong. And we just say, guilt, you have to leave now. In the name of Jesus, condemnation has to leave. Roots of bitterness and fear have to leave. And make way for the love of Papa. I just say, as he pours over and pours down, he's pouring in. Just drink. Just receive. And let his love wave over you. There's nothing you have to do. He's wanted to give you this the moment you were created. We just seal this in the name of Jesus. I just sense love awakening too. I just hear that phrase, love awakening. I just feel like the Lord's awakening love again. Awakening the simplicity of just loving him. We love because he first loved us. Today would be a huge deposit of peace into your spirit. That peace would begin to shake everything else that has brought reality to you today. That your reality would be shifted today from peace in the name of Jesus. I say peace to you. The peace that he gives, that not the world gives, but that he gives. So do not be afraid. And I say be rooted, be planted in his love. Let the peace of the Lord rule over you today. And I just say, let the peace of the Lord reign inside you. Amen.